In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a true story. It happened several years ago. When I tell you a fictitious story, I'll let you know. Still, I'll blur some of the details. I was having a late fast food lunch, as I have done so many times. I have the cholesterol level to prove it. I knew the cashiers at virtually every burger joint in town, but I didn't recognize the 20-something-year-old woman behind the cash register that day. She was new. I ordered my usual, a value menu hamburger and a side salad, and she asked me the obligatory question, "Would you like a drink with that?" There was a world weariness in her voice that belied her young age. I surmised that in her few short years, she had seen a lot of miles. Perhaps she was not unlike the Samaritan woman that Jesus met. It was drudgery for the women of the village to come to the well every day and draw water. Usually, a village's women would all come together at the same time. The fact that this particular woman was alone might indicate that she was an outcast for some reason, maybe because of her sordid relationships with men in the past. "Would you like a drink with that?" If I was more like Jesus, I mused to myself, I would turn that question around on her and offer her living water. If I was Jesus, I could find out what was making her so sad and cure her spiritual pain. But sadly, I'm not a whole lot like Jesus. So I ordered my usual Diet Coke and went off to my lunch, hoping that maybe she had noticed my clerical collar and the devotional book under my arm, and that maybe somehow they would awaken some long dormant spiritual longing in her. I prayed as much as I bowed my head and said grace over my lunch, which usually gets a few stares in fast food restaurants. You know, I think that a brief silent prayer in a restaurant is a-okay, fine. It shows that we are expressing our gratefulness to God, or gives us an opportunity to express our gratefulness for God, which is always good. And it also might be a subtle witness to others. I'd finished reading, and I was finishing off my devotional reading when a shadow fell over my table. I looked up, and it was the cashier. She said, "Can I talk to you, Father?" And I said, "Sure. Please sit down." She said, "Are you a priest?" Well, no, I fumbled, and I went into the usual spiel I give when people ask me that question. I'm actually a Lutheran pastor, not a Roman Catholic priest, but there is just so much more that unites us than divides us. And in fact, our worship service on Sunday is very much like the Mass. "Are you a Roman Catholic?" "No," she said. And I could see that my discourse on Lutheran-Roman Catholic relations had meant less than nothing to her. There was something else, something bigger, on her mind. "Is there a free clinic around here?" she asked. "What kind of clinic?" I asked. I had an idea of where this conversation might be going, and it scared me. "A health pregnancy clinic," she said. "I think I'm pregnant. I know I'm pregnant. And this time, I want to get prenatal care. Last time, I didn't have prenatal care, and things didn't work out so well." Her voice trailed off. Well, this was something I hadn't seen coming. "Yes, I know of a clinic like that," I said. "Would you like me to get you the name, the address, and the telephone number?" "Well," she said, "my shift's over, and I don't have a car. My son is in daycare all afternoon. If it's not too far, and if you have the time, Maybe you could drive me there and drop me off. I know how I can get a ride home. I would just need you to drop me off. Generally, I tried to avoid giving rides to lone strangers, especially lone women strangers, but this seemed to be like one of those situations where I might make an exception to that rule. We talked just a little bit in the car. Conversations in situations like that can be kind of awkward. You want to help, but you also want to respect the person's privacy and dignity. She told me the baby's father was long gone, that her parents had problems of their own and couldn't help her, and she was getting by with the help of a few friends who were no better off financially than she was. When you're financially secure, we often forget that others have needs about things we would never even think of. And isn't it interesting how often the poorest people are so willing to help other people with the little bit they have? As she got out of the car at the clinic, I made one last ditch effort to be like Jesus. You know, I'm glad to help however I can. I like to think that God works in crazy ways like this sometimes. I don't know what your experience has been with churches in the past, but you would be most welcome at ours, and I hope that maybe someday I can baptize your baby. Here's my card. Come and visit us. Call me anytime. As she walked away, I wished I could have done more. I'm not really sure what more would have been in that situation, but I wish I could have done it. She never came to church. She never called me. Many times I thought of how I might have been a better witness for Christ, that there were so many things that I would have, should have, could have done and said. Maybe a new baby gift bag would be in order. I went to the restaurant several times over the next few weeks, hoping I would run into her, and I never did. Finally, pushing the line of confidentiality a little bit, I talked to the manager. He was somebody I knew. Asked him where she was, and he said that she had quit several weeks ago. He thought she had left town with her new boyfriend. My point, you never know who you are going to meet in the course of a day. You never know what impact you might have on somebody's life. What you say might be the closest thing to a sermon some people ever hear. You might be the only faithful Christian that they ever meet. If you give a small act of kindness to a stranger, it might change that person's life or change your life forever. Jesus dramatically changed the life of the Samaritan woman. I don't know what happened to the cashier and her children. I wish I had a big happy ending to share with you, but this is a story about hope. I hope that in some small way our brief encounter made a space for the Holy Spirit that in some small way would create a well welling up with her, pouring water, living water, onto her soul. Maybe someday she will come into a relationship with our Lord and his church that will give her peace in the present and hope for the future, a future that includes eternal life. I hope so. I pray so. But that is in God's hands. God has given us this day. It is all we have. Today, we have been blessed that we might do something good for someone and that we might receive something good as well. This is only possible because of Jesus Christ. The story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well is really a story all about holy baptism. Jesus, who is the very Word of God, joins himself to the holy water of baptism, giving us his Holy Spirit, forgiving us our sins, and making us part of his family forever. We can say that the same water that flowed from his riven side when he was crucified is the same water that is a geyser in our lives, welling up inside of us to eternal life. Christ has shared that living water with us, and now we can share it with others. Let us be grateful for all the good we have received. Let us do all of the good we can do. And may that living water continue to nourish and sustain faith in us. And may we share that water with a spiritually thirsty world. Amen.